tied together.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays to everybody listening across the country. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we look back at a couple of interviews that we did. One dealing with AIDS at the UN and some of the advancements and things that have happened. And the other, taking a look at one of the most popular movies at Christmas time. No, it's not Elf or Bad Santa or any of those. It's an oldie but a goodie. Each week on the show, we talk with our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohead. He's like the best storyteller ever. I'm serious. This guy is so good. So I wanted some of you to hear him who might not have heard him before talking about White Christmas. Well, sort of White Christmas. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not telling you anything about the movie. It's just think popular movie. It's eye-opening. I'm not going to tell you. Speaking of eye-opening, wow, look what happened to John Boehner, the Speaker of the House. He gave in. You know, he said over and over again he was not going to do any kind of a short-term deal, that the House wouldn't budge. It had to be a year. And guess what? He gave in. Obama congratulated Congress for ending a partisan stalemate, and they're extending the payroll tax cut. I mean, there's something that could happen to change it, but for now, anyway, it will happen. So in the beginning of the year, nobody's paychecks change of the 160 million affected. And it's not, you know, some of the people are making over 200,000 that fall into the category of getting the tax break or tax holiday or whatever they want to call it, but it's the tax extension anyway, the payroll tax cut extension. So Boehner decided that he said he didn't want to affect the American people, and this was the right thing to do, basically. And you could tell he was uncomfortable that he had to figure out a way to, I guess, to pull this out. So it is a cave. There's no question about it. However, the Republicans, and heading into 2012, would have just gotten beaten over the head again and again and again by not agreeing to do something. So I guess that's what he decided, that being more subdued and announcing that he's going to accept the short-term extension, they'll go for it right before all of this expires. House Republican leaders weren't totally thrilled by this. Some were, but like Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, many of you in Kentucky know, he agreed to this extension exchange for the Senate, appointing members to a conference committee. What that means is they negotiate a long-term solution, and that got approval from Obama and the Senate Majority Leader. But Boehner, I don't think, was happy with this deal. Remember, he said they were kicking a can down the road for a couple of months, and that it causes, you know, it does cause problems. And of course it does, because this is what they always do. Boehner did say sometimes it's politically difficult to do the right thing, and he admitted that the House Republicans' refusal to compromise, this is Boehner, his words, on the short-term extension, which got backlash even from conservatives politically, might not be the smartest thing in the world, in this world, but our members waged a good fight. Now, the bill has some language protecting small businesses from a measure in the Senate bill that creates temporary new caps on the wages that are subject to payroll tax relief. I hope that doesn't sound too confusing. You know, basically not sticking it to the small businesses. In the end, we get stuck with this because now we have a bill, and who's paying for it? It's the same thing. So you're going to get the 40 or so extra a week in the every 2 weeks or whatever it is in the check, but eventually you're probably going to pay for it in the long run, because think about it, when you're coming close to Social Security or you need that, they're taking all this money away. So, you know, this is Groundhog Day. We keep doing this thing over and over and over again. Here's what Ron Paul had to say. He's been under fire lately for his name being on some letters that had a more than a hint of racism. So now he's getting nailed for that, and he's saying, I have no idea what those letters say. I disavow them, whatever. But in the meantime, he commented on what's happening in Washington.
Housing programs didn't work. That ended up bailing out the rich. It bailed out the mortgage people and the derivatives traders, and they were on the verge of going bankrupt, which they should have. They should have. They still know arithmetic, and they know they're getting a bad deal, and they're getting all these debts out of them.
All right, Ron Paul, he could win Iowa. The caucuses are coming up, and it has a lot of support. So as he tries to get away from what he's being dogged by in the past, he's flying high in the polls. The newsletters from the early 1990s are what's sticking to him. There were newsletters that were published under a couple of different names, including Ron Paul's Freedom Report, the Political Report, the Survival Report, and he says, you know, I didn't write them. I didn't read them at the time, and I disavow them. I never read that stuff. And he said he keeps being asked about that all the time, constantly by CNN, and it makes no sense to him, and he disavows them and whatnot. I think that people that support Ron Paul aren't worried about what he said in the newsletters, but it's the people who don't know much about Ron Paul that might say, whoa, 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 what's this guy about? I know a lot of you are going to go to the movies coming up in the next week because you got some time off. So maybe you're going to take your kids to see this first one. We're going to start our cheap movie review and punt it into our next segment. The first one is The Adventures of Tintin.
Ago, secure the cargo. A power that could have changed the course of history was lost. Generations have searched for it.
Snowy, look at this. It was long claimed the ship was carrying a secret cargo.
But no one has found a clue. Until now.
The model ship conceals a clue.
To one of the greatest secrets in all history.
I'm warning you. Get out while you still can. These people do not play nice.
I will find that ship, with or without your help.
Thanks. I'm Tintin, by the way.
Haddock. Archibald Haddock. Someone's locked the door.
The key, Snowy. The sandwich. The key.
How could you let them escape?
We sacrifice the ship before we do, it's over.
This isn't just the ship. Yours, friend, yes.
And then, look. This may sound crazy, but I've got a plan. Did you hit anything?
Oh dear.
Ah, we're not there yet!
No! Ah.
You looked a little cold.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price and you could lose money, but it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Christmas to you and yours. We continue with our cheap movie review. You just heard The Adventures of Tintin. We move from that. That's a great kids movie, it looks like it would be, to this one that was a huge best-selling novel. Lots of people ran out to buy it. A lot of women ran out and got this. And then there subsequently were two books after. But this was the first one. And it's called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
She's one of the best investigators I had.
Buzz?
She's different.
In what way?
In every way.
Something wrong with the report?
Anything you chose not to disclose.
He's clean, in my opinion. He's honest. Her credibility isn't dead yet.
Mine is.
He's had a long-standing sexual relationship with his co-editor of the magazine. Sometimes he pleasures her. Not often enough, in my opinion.
No, you're right not to include that.
I need your help. You come stay on the island. A way of avoiding all those people you might want to avoid right now. You will be investigating thieves, misers, bullies, the most detestable collection of people that you will ever meet. My family. This is Harriet.
Someone in the family murdered Harriet. And for the past 40 years has been trying to drive me insane. Those are from her. The rest from her killer.
You failed to adapt to four foster homes. Arrested twice for intoxication, twice for assault.
How many partners have you had in the last month? And how many of those were male?
You should have control of my money.
And you will, once you learn to be sociable. Why don't we start with me? You know what to do.
I can't find something you've been unable to find in 40 years.
You don't know that. You have a very keen investigative mind.
You were here that day.
A terrible day. Searching. I'm finding.
But I never found the body.
Was it spontaneous?
Was it calculated?
Did she know something? Some of you she didn't.
The last time I reported on something without being absolutely sure, I lost my life saving. I need a research assistant.
I know an excellent one. She did the background check on you.
The what?
You don't think we could hire just anyone for something like this?
It's Mikhail Blomqvist. May I come in? We need to talk.
Hey, hey, who do you think you are?
Put some clothes on. Get rid of your girlfriend.
Can I call you Elizabeth?
I want you to help me catch a killer of women. I've got absolutely no idea how they're connected to the death of a 16-year-old girl.
Don't you need to look over these?
I got it.
It's better to look at what I am about to show you on her discovery.
What are you doing?
Reading a note.
They're encrypted.
Please.
Rape, torture, fire, animals, religion. Am I missing anything?
The name. And the husband.
Nobody likes people poking around in their lives.
Everybody knows why you're here.
Someone killed her. Someone on the island that day.
If a woman approaches any beast and dies with us, we shall kill the woman and the beast.
These people are insane.
Soon you will know us all. Always to one.
With my apologies.
Yes, you can tell that this fast moving, fast pace, and it's, I'm sure, going to be a runaway hit at the box office. Will Tom Cruise be a runaway hit at the box office this time around with another installment of Mission Impossible? Take a listen.
Com check. We're live.
Target acquired.
What the hell is that?
Abort. Ethan, what happened in the Kremlin?
It was a setup.
The Russians are classifying this as an undeclared act of war. The blame points to you and your team. The president has initiated Ghost Protocol. The entire IMF has been disavowed.
So what happens now?
Your mission, should you choose to accept it.
The secretary is dead. Four of us are all that remains of the IMF. No safe house, no support or extraction. Everyone connected with this man is an asset with valuable information. We come back with our target. But we don't come back.
And how do you propose that we do that?
You take him out.
Yeah, we take him out. But, you know, discreetly.
Discreetly.
This operation's over before it even begins.
Would you care to explain yourself, Brandt?
Who are you, really?
We all have our secrets. Don't we, Ethan?
Okay, this is a slight wrinkle. We're going to have to go into the server room from the outside.
We?
I'm on the computer.
Could be good. Don in Wyoming, one of our regular callers, says thumbs up to this version of Mission Impossible. This one's a clever movie. You could take the family probably to this, and it's based on a true story. It's called We Bought a Zoo.
Hustle, hustle, we're late.
Dad!
Oh, man. All right,
I'm...
Oh.
Thanks.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, Dad. I thought maybe dinner for three.
Thank you.
4-4.
Hey, Rosie. Am I doing anything right?
You're handsomer than the other dads. Both of them don't have hair. So that's good.
Attempt to start over. I shall try to start over.
Sunlight.
Joy.
I salute you in the great times we had together, and I quit.
This is exactly what we've been looking for.
It's a bit complicated.
What's so complicated about this place?
It's a zoo.
This is what you want. It's not what I want.
At the risk of stating the obvious, you're insane.
The sellers say you don't even need any special knowledge to run a zoo. What you need is a lot of heart.
You are going to love your new enclosure.
We need somebody who can take charge of this place, or else we and all these animals are gone.
I'm trying to give the kids an authentic American experience.
Stop before zebras get involved.
There's two zebras. There's a lion. There's 47 animal species.
It'll never last.
If you stick with me, I will give this everything.
Well, that's good enough for me.
I think you're incredibly pretty. Please don't take offense if I don't hit on you.
Be offended if you did.
Thank you. I think.
I like the animals,
but I love the humans. All you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. And I promise you, something great will come of it.
Keep coming.
Matt Damon, Scarlett Johansson, this could be a winner for the whole family. I think it could do pretty well at the box office as well. So, yeah, this is the time that people go to the movies. All four movies that we let you hear probably will at least recoup their money. But I just care that if you go to the movies, you enjoy yourself. So make sure you pick the right one for the family versus the other stuff. Stay with us.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Le Cig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Micro plant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right.
Atta boy, Claire.
Who hasn't seen It's a Wonderful Life? A lot of people watch it every year. I think my family, we've watched it most years. I can't say there's been a streak of every single year, but I know I've seen it probably 20 times. Stephen Shohat, of course, joins us each and every week here on America Tonight, the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. And that is a legendary movie. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Kate. How you doing?
How many times have you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
I lost count. You know, no matter how many times I've seen it, I'll watch it every year. Sometimes I catch it in the middle because it hooks you. Because, you know, I think it's different from the other Christmas movies, and I know other people have other favorite Christmas movies, but I think in It's a Wonderful Life, it's like an hour and a half of, you know, not terrible things happening, and then all of a sudden it gets into this life and death situation with this guy you've come to know, and the stakes get so high, and I think it's almost draining to watch it, but it's so emotional. I don't think you can really, at least I can't really shake myself from it. So I really enjoy watching it quite a bit.
Yeah, in going back in the history of this, was Stewart always going to be that guy? Was Jimmy Stewart always going to be the main dude in it?
Well, pretty much. Frank Capra had Henry Fonda as a backup. So, you know, just in case, because you look at James Stewart at that time, he was in a very interesting position, kind of one hard to imagine today, that he hadn't acted for 5 years because under his own volition, he had chosen to give up Hollywood and go into the military service during World War II. When you think about it, that's an incredible thing. I mean, he was 5 pounds below the required weight at the time, so he had to go to the draft board a few times to get in, or the induction office, I should say. And then he was making very good money. I mean, he just won the Academy Award for The Philadelphia Story. He was getting paid $1,500 a week, just having this great man about town life. And suddenly he's a buck private, and he's sharing room, with a bunch of strangers, and he's peeling potatoes. And his salary was $21 a week. And he had a good sense of humor. He, as soon as he got his first paycheck, he sent 10% to his agent, so $2.10. And then he had been in the service for 5 years or 4 years, and then he had led 1,000 men in bombing missions over Europe. He came back; his hearing was not as good. He was 37. He was kind of shaken up, as you might expect. He had a lot of fearful adventures, and he wasn't sure if he wanted to be an actor anymore. So there was this element of reluctance when Frank Capra approached him with the role, but Frank Capra had nobody else in mind, just, you know, Henry Fonda, just in case, but it turned out that wasn't necessary.
Did Capra know he just had a runaway hit with this, right?
No. It was a totally different situation for Capra, because Capra had been under contract before to Columbia Pictures. And then after the war, he started his own company with George Stevens and William Wyler called Liberty Films. And so suddenly he's putting up his own money. And it was a very nerve-wracking thing for him. And usually his sets were wonderful places to work on. But in this particular movie, he was crabby and sort of lashing out at people. And it wasn't as fun. Now, as the movie went along, and Capra started getting this incredible performance from Jimmy Stewart, who started to get his acting chops and his confidence back, he started to believe that it was the greatest movie anybody had ever made, which I don't personally disagree with, but it didn't catch on at that time. It made its money back, but it didn't get into profits, and there were all sorts of theories as to why. Well, one theory was because you have this movie coming out in 1946, the economy was no longer the big worry like it had been during the Depression for a lot of people. I mean people were building houses and people were back from the war and a lot of people were doing well, and so there was a theory that this movie was old fashion because it really comes down to the money, the owing $8,000, and it just didn't catch on. And then other people thought it was too dark, and other people thought, well, they want Martin and Lewis movies. So for whatever reason, it really wasn't a big hit. But Capra did believe that it was a great movie by the time he finished it. It just didn't catch on as well with the public as he would have liked.
Yeah, and the he had an interesting career, didn't he?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was deeply religious. He said that the reason he did It's a Wonderful Life was to go against the common belief of atheism of the day. See, one of the things that happened was there was a man named A.P. Giannini, who was the founder of Bank of America, and he had been instrumental in lending money to the early Hollywood moguls, who were actually like junk dealers and glove salesmen and streetcar conductors, there was no indication that the movie business would be that big at first, and Giannini was like a do it on a hunch type of banker, and Capra really admired him. So he had this movie idea based on Giannini where there'd be this banker and he didn't follow the normal rules of finance, and the other bankers would want to ruin him. And then at the last moment, the people he lent money to, the less well-to-do people, would come and bail him out. So he already made a movie with the same theme, which was called American Madness in 1932. And basically, It's a Wonderful Life was a return to that theme with Giannini with James Stewart really in the Giannini role, and Capra always tried to have these lion versus the Lamb type themes. And of course, some people thought they were very corny themes, and they called it his movies Capricorn. But, you know, the problem was that he didn't like working for other people, and at the same time, he didn't totally like working for himself, because that means you put your own money on the line. So eventually his movie output after It's a Wonderful Life slowed down. He only made a few movies after that.
Yeah, and It's a Wonderful Life was, you know, also Donna Reed and Lionel Barrymore was in it. This Barrymore is what to Drew Barrymore? Who is he to Drew Barrymore?
Great uncle. I mean, great, yeah. I don't know. He's the grandfather's brother. So is that great uncle?
Yeah, great uncle.
Great granduncle?
It might be great granduncle.
Great granduncle, yeah. And he was quite a character too. In fact, he really helped. See, he was sort of legendary for playing Ebenezer Scrooge on the radio, but he suffered from arthritis, so he couldn't do it. On the screen. So you know, the Mr. Potter was the as close as you could get to Ebenezer Scrooge, probably, except he didn't repent at all. But you could see maybe there was a heart underneath there, but the way the character was written, he just was so nasty. But in real life, he was really helpful to James Stewart, because James Stewart, after being in the service, was unsure if he wanted to be an actor anymore. And on the set, Barrymore was giving James Stewart pep talks, saying, you know, acting is a wonderful profession. You make everybody happy. And James Stewart said later on that if it wasn't for Barrymore probably helped him more than anybody else on that set, getting his confidence and his interest back in the acting profession.
Wow. And how about Donna Reed? I mean, Donna Reed was great as Mary Hatch in that role. That was a big role for her.
Oh, it certainly was. Now, she was not the first choice. There were other actresses like Ginger Rogers and Jean Arthur, who had bigger names. You know, she worked very, very hard on the movie. You know, she helped. They have a really sexy scene in that movie where there's a phone cord wrapped around James Stewart and Donna Reed, and they're, you know, finding their passion for each other, and they did that unrehearsed, and that was Donna Reed's suggestion. And Frank Capra made a joke. He said, "Oh, James Stewart is so nervous that I had to wrap a phone cord around him, otherwise he would have run away." But yeah, but Donna Reed, the thing about it was that they both had different reactions coming out of the movie. James Stewart was confident, but he was disappointed that the movie didn't do as well as he wanted it to. Donna Reed was absolutely exhausted and really wondered if she'd ever work again, because when the movie didn't do well, the behind the scenes, James Stewart and Frank Capra were sort of thinking that Donna Reed was the reason why. In fact, they offered James Stewart a chance to work with her again, or his agent. He told his agent that he didn't really want to work with her again. He was very superstitious, and so June Allison became his regular movie wife. And then, you know, another interesting thing that happened that they probably never talked about it personally, but James Stewart was a hawk when it came to the Vietnam War. I mean, Brigadier General. He flew in an observation flight, a non-combat flight, during the Vietnam War, and his son died, Ronnie. And Donna Reed was very anti-war, and James Stewart expressed absolute contempt, not on her specifically, but publicly came out and said that I hate the anti-war people. You know, they should have been behind our soldiers the whole time, and instead, you know, they were disloyal. So I'm sure they probably never talked about it. I'm sure they were cordial, but they did have a political split. Even as they became famous, because, you know, the thing with It's a Wonderful Life, it kept James Stewart probably more famous than most older actors, because
exactly.
You see him all the time.
Exactly. It's a Wonderful Life, terrific inside stuff from, of course, the man who is the king of the storyteller, Stephen Shohat. Thanks, Stephen. We'll talk to you next week.
Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from Anti Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. Faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Better than I knew myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. So proud to be in New York City and here at the United Nations. Actually, we're off in a special UNICEF area, and it's a very, 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 I'm going to say this 10 times, big day. As many of you know, I did a lot of work as far as my television career on AIDS and the epidemic, and I'm very proud of some of the stuff that that we were able to uncover then. And now here we are. We have 30 heads of state at the UN talking about AIDS, and we have Jimmy Colker sitting right here with me. He's the chief of the HIV AIDS program division. He's the man. Jimmy, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it. We know you are swamped today with all the people that are in town.
Well, it's great to be here, and thanks for your interest in AIDS and in UNICEF and the UN.
Let's start off with just an umbrella question that, you know, we broadcast all over the United States, and AIDS affects and touches so many people in different ways. Where are we as far as battling the epidemic? What's happened? Now it's been decades. I think somehow, sometimes it gets lost.
One of the reasons we have this high-level meeting in New York this week is that it's the 30th anniversary of the discovery of the HIV virus, or identification of the virus. And of course, there's been remarkable progress in that there now are drugs which make AIDS, while still not a curable disease, it is treatable, and of course it's preventable. And we know a lot more about how the virus behaves and how it's transmitted. And from the point of view of children and AIDS, it's very rare now that a child would be born HIV positive, but in the first world, but in Africa, there's still 1,000 children a day who are acquiring the infection as newborns. So in the U.S. itself, there are over 1 million people who are living with HIV, and that number has not gone down significantly over time. And so the good news is many of them are kept alive because the drug regimens are readily available, but there still are new cases in the U.S., and there are over 33 million people worldwide who are living with AIDS.
So there's still the need for speed. So you have these heads of state in, and you want to utilize that time. What are some of the things that you talk about when you hit the pedal to the metal, when they hit the door? What are you talking about?
Well, one is the vertical transmission from mothers to children, is something we want to eliminate. It's, as I say, it's a rare occurrence in the first world because we know what to do to prevent this transmission. There are drugs that are readily available. In every country, there is a program of preventing mother-to-child transmission, but we reached only about half of the women in need. So the huge priority, and there'll be a plan introduced by the Secretary General, President Bill Clinton, UNAIDS, along with UNICEF, our Executive Director Anthony Lake and others this afternoon, that talks about what we need to do by 2015 to reduce the number of new pediatric infections by 90%. And we have the technology to do that. There is scale-up in every country, but there are many, many women who would benefit for their own health from getting this treatment, but who aren't getting it right now.
Is it part of it? Is it the lack of knowledge of knowing where they can get the treatment? You mentioned Africa, of course, which has always been ground zero.
Right. The majority of people who are HIV positive in the world don't know their status. And so clearly testing is a key entry point to getting on care and treatment. But also, we have now very effective drugs, much more effective than they were even 5 or 6 years ago in terms of helping to prevent vertical transmission and prevent infection among discordant couples where one partner is positive but the other is uninfected, and keeping that partner safe as well.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned at the top, you're the chief of HIV AIDS Program Division. Explain that, flesh that out for us, for the audience, because, you know, titles, and it's great to have titles, and you're proud, I'm sure, of yours, but what does that actually mean? What is your job at the UN?
Well, I'm in UNICEF, the UN Children's Fund, and within the program division of UNICEF, which is our country programs, most of it done in over 160 countries around the world, we have four focus areas. One is child survival, child protection, education, but the other one is HIV and AIDS. And so the priorities for UNICEF in terms of children and AIDS is to keep children from being invisible, which they often are, but to scale up not only preventing new infections in young people through mother-to-child transmission, but also pediatric treatment. Even just 6-7 years ago, it cost $20,000 a year to treat a child because you had to essentially custom make the drugs. Mm-hmm. Now they're readily available fixed-dose drugs, combination therapy, costs less than $200 a year to keep that child alive. So the pediatric treatment, then protection for orphans and vulnerable children. More than 16 million kids living today have lost a parent to AIDS, and so those children have special needs. UNICEF is trying to address those clearly at a family and community level. And finally, prevention among young people and adolescents. That is going to be the key if we're ever going to reverse the epidemic. We're making progress, but not enough. The UN had set a goal in 2001 of reducing infections among young people by 25%. Since 2001, they've been reduced by 12%, which is progress, but we haven't even met the goal of a 25% reduction, and we need to do even better than that. AIDS is a preventable disease, and we need to be sure that young people are equipped and empowered to prevent new infections.
So we talked about the money, and that's amazing, $20,000 to $200
factor
to treat
100.
It.
That's
incredible, so significant. Is it, besides the knowledge and getting the testing, is some of it money? Is it some of it still getting donations?
Working with the drug companies to reduce the price of the medications, getting generic versions of the medications, and especially getting pediatric formulas, because many of the tests of new drugs are just done on adults, and it takes years then to adapt those to be sure that they're safe for children. So there's a lot of sort of upstream work that needs to be done as well. But clearly, an investment in prevention means that you save tens of thousands of dollars in terms of treatment costs if for each infection prevented. But the whole dynamic of what are smart investments in terms of AIDS and the moral imperative of keeping people who do have HIV alive, because we have that technology. We're doing it in this country, in the United States, but we need to be give other people around the world that same opportunity.
Yeah. Looking at your background, I mean, you've got an incredible career, certainly in politics, I'll say. You were a U.S. ambassador to Uganda. You spent some time in Zimbabwe, Mozambique. Did that pique the interest for you to go in this direction to solve the problem, or
no? It was quite a change for me, because I'm a career diplomat. I was in the Foreign Service. I worked at 8 U.S. embassies abroad. I got to be a U.S. ambassador twice, once appointed by President Clinton, once by President Bush. But it was in Uganda where I saw the difference that an AIDS program could make. The President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, which we launched there in Uganda, was the largest program, and I, through no merit or virtue of mine, I was head of the largest AIDS program in the world for 2 or 3 years. And seeing the tens of thousands of people who were first time able to access treatment, seeing them alive, seeing them healthy, seeing them contributing instead of wasting away, was such a life-changing experience that when I left Uganda, I said, this is something I want to be involved in. And I became number 3 in the U.S. government's international AIDS program for 2 years. And then I was offered the job to head the AIDS program at UNICEF. And it's been a remarkable change of career for me, but something that I really feel is making a difference.
What's been the most rewarding thing? Is it because you're making a difference, or what is it for you that is so rewarding about this job?
Absolutely. We know how to prevent HIV. We know how to treat HIV, but getting that, you know, we have the science, we have the economic data, but as a diplomat, what I saw was missing was, where's the public policy aspect of this? How do we make this a priority? How do we make this fit in with everything else that governments are doing? And that's true, that's a challenge for the U.S. government, but it's even more of a challenge for African governments, where sometimes AIDS is very taboo, where the health systems are weak. And it really has been, for me, an opportunity to put all of that experience that I had in Africa and in Europe and working for the U.S. government to the test of saying, how can we actually make lives better for children? Because we know what to do. We just have to get the political systems, the health systems, and the distribution systems to work together to make lives for children much better.
Yeah, no kidding. One last one, Jimmy. This is big because you're speaking to a national audience. Mm-hmm. What can the people in Iowa do, Illinois, Connecticut, New York, Texas, what can they do? Is there something they can do to keep the awareness up of this battle?
Well, absolutely. There are more than 1 million HIV-positive people in the United States, and reducing stigma, talking about AIDS, realizing that this is still very much a problem throughout the world, not just in Africa, but all over, is important. And I grew up in the Midwest, and I realized that this is something that in your own communities, the sense of international engagement is still very strong in the United States. And I'm really pleased, working for UNICEF, that UNICEF has been able to mobilize groups in the U.S. to contribute to our work, but also to be aware of what UNICEF is doing and the difference that we're making in the lives of children. So UNICEFUSA.org, UNICEF.org are two very good sites to check on what activities are going on and how people can make a difference.
Yeah, Jimmy Coker, I can tell you're making a difference. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for the opportunity and your interest in this topic.
Thanks.